You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on Cyclesman.com. Welcome back to the show, Tim.
Jim, thanks as always for having me.
I remember your panicky kind of phone call to me back in July when you went, oh my God, here it is, the major correction we've all been anticipating and fearing. And since then, though, it's been, again, we've got a nose-up attitude. The markets are rallying and going higher, setting new records every week. What happened and what is happening and what could happen?
Crazy, isn't it? Well, Jim, looking at, you know, this long-term economic cycle, we've had the last long-term economic cycle peaked in 2000. And I knew there were two possibilities. One, that we could, as in 2000, we saw equities peak ahead of the first interest rate cut. And so I knew that was a possibility. In 07 and with the 2020 setup, that was, 07 was the first attempted downturn out of the current long-term economic cycle, and 2020 was the second attempted downturn. And in both of those cases, equities rallied, following the rate cuts. As the rate cuts began, it was perceived as positive news, and the markets made their final push up. And so I knew that both possibilities existed, but in July, it looked like, based on some of the cycle counts at the time and the structure that we were seeing, it was leaning toward scenario one in 2000, where equities peaked slightly ahead of the initiation of the rate cutting cycle. Obviously, with equities pushing higher, that did not stick. And so by default, we're back to, scenario two, like 07 and 2020. So my thoughts have not changed as far as the mother of all bubbles and this what will be the third attempted downturn out of this sixth long-term economic cycle. It was a little bit of a fake out. Like I said, it looked like it was going to be scenario one and it's scenario two. In 07, there were two rate cuts before the market peaked, and I think that was over a period of like 8 weeks. And in 2020, there were three rate cuts before the market peaked, and I think that was over a period of, well, I know that was over a period of 28 weeks, if I counted it right. So we're in the ballpark for this setup, but obviously we're not quite there yet. We could see structure. The thing that I'm watching closely is the market structure, the cyclical structure, and when I see that, then we're back at another opportunity. It may be that, when I say we're in the ballpark, I mean, we could see that structure fall in place now, relatively quickly with the current high that is, I mean, in my world, there's a short-term cycle top in the making, and then that opens the door for, you know, the cycle of the next higher degree and the cycle of the next higher degree and et cetera, with this clustering of cycle tops that's looming. So I don't know yet. It could happen with this first rate cut. Maybe it's another rate cut or two ahead, like we saw, you know, in 2020 there were three rate cuts. So the structure now is key. With the rate cutting cycle having begun, we're in the ballpark and just got to watch the structure. So my opinion has not changed, and we're still flirting with a major top.
Market historian Bob Hoy says people are so wrong when they go, whoopee, rate cuts are here, everything's going to be okay. He said when rate cuts start to happen, that's actually a warning sign that you're probably going into recession. Do you agree?
That's basically what I just said. We saw the rate cuts, and like I said, at every major top in the last 25 years. I mean, you know, 2000 and the rate cuts in 07 and rate cuts, yes, exactly. And so I think that the market is what we've seen, in 2007, I think the way the market interpreted that in 2020 and now is that, oh, boy, the Fed, just what you said, the Fed's going to save us. Everything's okay. It's perceiving it as positive news when in reality it's not. So, again, I agree with that and that we're pushing into some sort of a final high.
Now, the Fed makes its decisions like most central banks do, taking a look at, this is what's happened, so we have to react to it. But these are the very same brains that said inflation was transitory, don't worry about it, and they did nothing about it. When if they jumped on it right away, maybe we wouldn't have this inflation problem. Do you think that would have worked if they jumped on it faster?
No, I disagree completely with that. I look at the Fed from a completely different perspective, or look at what they're doing from a completely different perspective. I think it's smoke and mirrors. I think they're masters at what they do. A lot of people think they're just a bunch of buffoons and they can't, they couldn't manage a popsicle stand, as a friend of mine used to say. But I look at it, like I said, completely different. They know exactly what they're doing, and they create the inflation. You know, we've kind of talked about this before, under the guise that they're trying to control the inflation. It's the opposite. Everything's an inversion. And, you know, coming out of the low in 2021 and 2022, and I say low, I'm talking about the low with interest rates, as we moved into early 22, the Fed model, which this thing is it's solid, man. I mean, it was telling me that it's telling the Fed that they should have been not raising. They should have been cutting, but they were out of room. The deflationary forces were on us, and they had to create the inflation. And so that's when they started jawboning. I mean, I remember watching it live and understanding what they were doing. That's when they started with the reverse repo operations to try to get rates up. That's when they started with the COVID-induced supply chain shortages to try to create shortages to create the inflation, because it's like Richard Russell used to say, inflate or die, inflate or die. The fiat monetary system, the stock market is part of the system, and it has to inflate or die. And that deflation, I remind you or listeners, that's what was trying to take hold back in 2000 at the natural top of the market out of that fifth long-term economic cycle. And they were able to reinflate. And again, if you just think about it logically, I mean, why did they do all the things that they did? Why the loose monetary policy? Why, the QE? Why Operation Twist? Why all these things? If they weren't trying to reinflate, that's what they were trying to do. That's what they did. And so, coming out of the 2020 low, we were literally, as we moved into 21, this thing, we got that little bounce, and the system was at risk of literal collapse coming out of the current long-term economic cycle. And in order to save it, they had to do something extreme, and that was to create the inflation, and they forced this entire rate hiking cycle. Looking at the model, every time they would raise, it would say, don't raise. It would say, this is the last raise, and they'd raise again. And then they'd tell them, don't raise, and they'd raise again. They'd tell them, don't raise, and they'd raise again. And when I say that, I'm talking about the model that I have, and what it's centered around is the three-month T-bill. And the Fed, people think, I even saw on CNBC when they were talking about this last rate cut, they talk about, they bring out all the experts and they're talking about unemployment data and this, that, and the other. None of that shit matters. Pardon my language. None of that matters. It's the three-month T-bill. And so they were forcing the T-bill higher. They jawboned the T-bill higher so that they could institute this rate hiking cycle. So they created this inflation while saying they were trying to control the inflation in order to keep the system alive. And now that we're pushed into this top, what is happening with this rate cut is we're back in the zone, like I said, in the ballpark for the top of the mother of all bubbles. And here we sit again at the opportunity, or in a position for this thing to try to start to deflate again. So anyway, I see the operations of the Fed. If you look at it from one side of the fence, it looks like they don't know what they're doing. You look at it from the right perspective, as I think I see it, looking at it from the other side of the fence, it's masterful.
Now, as an investor, do you start pulling your money out now, or do you still try to ride this uptrend?
Well, I'm not going to give specific advice. I talked to a friend the other day. He called me, and he said, you know, I was talking to my investment advisor, and he said, I got enough money that I can, in my retirement, that I can pull it out, and I got enough money that I'm okay till I'm 90. What do you think I ought to do? And I'm like, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole, because if you tell somebody pull it out and this thing goes on up a little, you know, longer than anticipated, like we saw coming out of the July low, they're able to push it again, then you've given them bad advice in their mind. And if, on the other hand, they don't pull it out and this market starts to crack and then it's down 10%, they're going to say in their mind, well, I can't pull it out now because it's down and I got to wait for it to come back because I've lost so much. And then it's down 20% and they go, well, I dang sure can't pull it out now. And the next thing's down 30%. And the next thing you know, they don't have enough money to live until they're 90. So at some point, you know, my mind if it is, you know, instead of being greedy and chasing another dollar, it may be, you know, the way I would be looking at that, I didn't, you know, like I said, I couldn't say anything, but and I wasn't going to, but safety. And that's something that somebody has to figure out for themselves. I think we're dealing with a time bomb. It's just a matter of how long they can keep this thing going. And like I said, with this rate cutting cycle now underway, I think we're pushing into the final highs, and that puts us back. I mean, we are in the ballpark, but it puts us back in the zone where we can see this thing start to crack.
We'll have more with Tim Cycles Man Wood right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Tim Cycles Man Wood. Tim, are investors complacent? Nobody seems to be worried about the markets being toppy. They're all pouring their money into NVIDIA, Microsoft. Even Apple's fallen out of favor, but yet Tesla is still a strong force out there. Why are they not listening to advisors who are saying, you know, you might want to take some money off the table here because this could be the end of good times?
Look, I said something back coming out of the 09 low that was most profound, and I didn't realize the magnitude of the statement at the time, because I don't think anybody could have foreseen the scope of this bubble and where we're at today. But, you know, I said this, the longer this rally goes, the more convincing it would become. Well, that's, you know, obviously an understatement at this point. But saying it another way, people can't see the forest for the trees. And unless someone has a historical, some sort of a perspective where you can back up and do some deeper analysis and look at this and understand it for what it is, there's no way. I mean, all they see is, you know, they have the blinders on and all they can see is that it's, you know, it's just been straight up. But when you back up and you begin to look at it and understand what's going on, you see it for the time bomb that it is. And the danger with this is like I said, it's not excuses. It's just facts. It's not conspiracy. It's just facts. The manipulative efforts to keep this going have been alive and well and very, very successful. And so that is why I think that people are so complacent. They have no historical perspective. I mean, it's been, hell, think about it. I mean, 09, that's been, that's a long time ago. You know, we're closing in on 20 years. It's been 15, 16 years. So, you know, there's a lot of people out there in the market that don't even remember that or have a perspective for that one, much less a 2000 top. And God help them, you know, to go back and really have a deeper understanding of the market. So I think that's what we're seeing, and that's why we're in the position that we're in. That's why they're going to face the losses that they're going to face. The people are going to get a brutal lesson once we get set up and this thing starts to turn down.
Now, the BRICS at their meeting in Russia were expected to announce the creation of the unit, which would be worth roughly $20. Nothing's happened after 3 days of meetings. It hasn't happened. Has this meeting been more of an effort by Putin to prove, hey, I still got friends. They came to visit.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have an opinion on that. It's not something I'm following. I mean, I'm aware of the meeting, but it's not really, I can't really speak on it because it's not something I've been following close enough to have a real opinion.
Well, the unit was supposed to be backed by 40% gold and then 60% fiat currency. That might be good if you're a country like India, but even China's currency going down because of their economic failures and failure to start after COVID. And other countries have learned you can't rely on China either because they can pull the plug on you at any time for political purposes. So it's better to have some production back at home. But they are going to include Ethiopia, which I don't think has ever been some kind of an economic powerhouse in the history of the planet.
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, exactly. So when you include people like that in your group, just to snub your nose at the U.S. dollar, maybe it's not going to get off the ground. It likely won't this year. But people thought because it would be 40% backed by gold, China and Russia have been purchasing all the gold they can lay their hands on for the last dozen years.
Well, I'm of the opinion nothing is going to, I can say this kind of a higher level statement. I don't think anything's going to happen that the global banking elite don't want to happen. So I believe they pull the strings and control anything like that. So I don't think it's happening. In other words, what I'm trying to say, I don't think it's happening outside of their control.
Now, what's going on with gold? It continues to be relatively healthy. Absolutely.
Mm. Gold has been going up in 2022. We had a 9-year cycle low, and gold has been going up in conjunction with the upturn out of that low. It has been extremely strong, and I'm not taking anything away from that. Like I said, I have known, I have written in every letter for months and months and months and months that we've turned up out of that 9-year cycle low, and at this point, there's no evidence that 9-year cycle top has peaked. But within that context, I think what we're seeing is that gold is pushing up into what I suspect is going to end up being a something called a left translated, has to do with the structure, a 9-year cycle top, which will leave it set up for much more weakness. In other words, kind of I don't know how to say this. It'll leave it set up vulnerable to a very, very bearish decline once it peaks. It's kind of like a blow-off top type scenario. I think that's what's happening, and I think it's setting up in conjunction with the bubble, the everything bubble, and if that's true, then it's going to leave it in a position to decline with the deflationary forces once we turn down out of this long-term economic cycle. But in the meantime, yes, it's positive. It's been positive. It's in a bit of a vulnerable spot now because there's some cycle tops due. And so I expect we're in the ballpark for some weakness into those or out of those that clustering of highs. And depending on how that develops, then it could be that we've seen a longer-term top, but that's going to take time to confirm. But there are some intermediate-term tops in gold due right now. And then, like I said, in the bigger picture, I think it's pushing into a major top, just like equities.
Is gold a safe haven, or is it a place where if the stock market falls, it's going to go down with it, but perhaps not as much?
Exactly. It's door number two.
Yeah,
it's been a magnificent play. I'm not anti-gold. Had someone call me anti-gold one time. I'm not anti-gold. I get it, but it also You know, it has its cyclical rhythm too. It moves up and down, and just like we saw in well, not so much in 2020, but it was down. You know, in conjunction with that high, gold was down in 08 into 09, just like everything else. And whenever this goes, it's going to be down again. What gold has been sensing, in my opinion, the reason why gold has been up so strong out of this this 2022 9-year cycle low is it's in conjunction or sympathy or however you want to say it with the reinflation that we've seen. The reinflation out of the 2020, 2021 lows, the 2020 low obviously in the stock market, and then the the commodity lows. So it's been like I said, in unison with that reinflation. Once we get to the point where that reinflation has run its course and this long-term economic cycle starts to roll over, then gold's going to become vulnerable just like everything else because it's no longer going to be inflationary. It's going to be deflationary. And so once we round that corner, gold faces that same risk.
What's the story with crude?
The same. Crude has been weaker on a relative basis. The bounce that we have seen more recently is, I can't say that it's run its course yet, but on a relative basis, crude oil has not participated very well out of the lows from early September, late August, early September. I think this has been a counter-trend bounce and that lower prices ultimately lie ahead for crude as well.
And what's the story on the U.S. dollar?
The U.S. dollar, we have, there's a long-term cycle in the dollar, a four-year cycle. I've been looking for that cycle to bottom next year or late this year, early next year. We obviously had a low. The dollar has been kind of on fire, if you will, coming out of the September low. But I think this is probably counter-trend, and I believe that that longer-term four-year cycle low is probably still ahead, and it may take us into the summer of next year, if that's true. Before, you know, we have this. In other words, this is a strong but counter-trend rally that turns down with one more push into that four-year low, and then from there, I think the dollar is going to absolutely rip in conjunction with the deflationary forces. Now, that said, there is a remote possibility. It's not my number one scenario, but you always, you know, you don't want to box yourself in. There's always an alternative. It's possible that we may have seen that four-year cycle low already. I don't think so. I think it's building that bottom, if you will. So I don't think we're there yet. I think that four-year low is ahead, and this is counter-trend. But long-term on the dollar, I am bullish on the dollar because as we move into the deflationary environment that we face, the dollar will be, it will be king. Cash will be king. The dollar, there will be a tremendous demand for the dollar once this begins.
Tim, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you.
My guest has been Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on cyclesman.com. He was speaking to us from Gulf Shores, Alabama. If you have any questions for Tim or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Find us on X at How Street. We're on Facebook. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.